Let's turn to Hebrews 6 for just a moment. Because this is what, when we foundationally talk about our thoughts, about the Word of God, I came from a teaching starting back in 1979 that you could go nowhere in God without laying the foundation. But it was all built around perfecting the flesh. How many know that the flesh is never going to be perfected? And we learned it the hard way, correct? And are still learning it the hard way, if I can be honest with you. So now, before we get into that, let's talk about this for a moment. How many know that the physical flesh is different from the word flesh? Correct? So the physical flesh we're not talking about. But the body of flesh, which is called your mind, correct? Which the Bible addresses, is what we're gonna deal with. So we're not dealing with the physical body, we are dealing with the body of flesh, which is your body of thought, your mind, versus the Word of God, or versus the body of Christ. Let's just say it that way. So there's the body of thought called the mind, and there's the body of thought called Jesus Christ. And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. In other words, you got to get a new body. Your body of thought, which is your mind, needs to be put off so that the body of Christ, the body of thought that is called God, can come into you. Now, Nicodemus was a leader. He was a priest. He was a leader of the Jews. So why would Nicodemus's mind as a priest have to be born again? Why would that be necessary? Right, because it was all formed from a wrong perception of God. That's important for us to understand. So just like we were saying before, when we first started discussing foundationally the Word of God, it was formed by trying to perfect a body of flesh, even to the point where we took it outward and tried to perfect the outward manifestation of a body, being our physical body. Are you with me? I'm not confusing anybody in that, am I? So these things become very, very important as we begin to hear the Word of God. If we don't have these things firm in our mind, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how we try to preach a foundation, we're going to go outward with it every time, and we're not going to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so foundationally, what we want to make sure that is being garnered in ourselves is that in the end of it, we become the body of Christ. We become the temple of the living God. We become the sanctuary or the house of God. Say amen? That's what we become. Because then when we put this fleshly body off, what's left? The temple of God, right? The body of Christ is what's left. So in heaven, then I become a part of a corporate body called Jesus Christ. That's what I become a part of. That's where the governments of God are in order. That's where the governments of God are so perfected and so defined. God can send me as a word into the generations, and I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ forever and ever because I am now in the corporate body of Christ. My mind has become one with God. Amen. And there's no deviation of thought in me when it comes to the sent word of God. That's important. Here's the other thing. Are we talking about a time where this fleshly body is put off, or are we talking about a time where the body of flesh that we call our mind is put off? The way we think is put off. And now my mind becomes the mind of Christ, and I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every generation because he's the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come, right? So I walk in present truth with God. And as long as I put you in remembrance of these things, what will happen? You will never fall. And I'm preaching to myself, correct? So I walk in the remembrance of these things so that I may never fall. And God will add to, and God will add to, and God will add to, and God will add to. So The other thing I want to remind you of this morning is that I am preaching to my world. Okay? And as I preach to my world, are you in it? Okay. So, as an apostle of God, can the apostle of God enter into your world? Yes, he can. And what will he do there? Yes, he will baptize it into his own body. What else will he do to it? Will he save both Jew and Gentile? Absolutely. He will save it all. Because who is the apostle? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's an amazing thing when we read about the apostles in the scriptures, especially in the book of Acts, correct? Because there we have the Acts of the Apostles. In those places, we see a lot of things going on in the apostles. And it looks from our mind, it looks like Peter and Paul are contrary to one another in a lot of different things. I'm going to tell you that Peter and Paul were in the same mind about everything all the time. All the time. Never separate. Even when Paul had to confront, the confrontation is not the right word, but had to reprove Peter to his face, I think is the word that the scripture uses. When Paul had to reprove Peter to his face, why was that necessary? Okay? So the battleground between law and grace, okay? So it was necessary to maintain a perfect mind. That's an amazing thing. So Paul could enter into Peter, put him in the remembrance of these things so that there'd never be a fall again. That's how important the structure of the Word of God is even to you today. It's that important. So when you look at the seven elders that have been raised up by God, and believe me, we are anticipating that there will be many more. We just have seven today. When you look at the seven elders that have been raised up by God today, what mind are they in? They're in the mind of Christ. So when they come to preach to you, listen, I have never been associated with anything so great as the mind of Christ, just so you know. And the power that it preaches with and the oneness that it brings forth is amazing to me. But each and every elder, their whole point, their whole driving force in the revelation of Jesus Christ is to form that one mind, that one body. That's who they are. They're not taking themselves in separately. It's when they come into that same mind and that same body, that same judgment, they themselves have laid that life aside. They have forsaken their life that they might become the life of Christ. Amen? So now let's go back to Hebrews 6 for a moment then, because we've heard it this way: therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So we have heard those things and heard those. I started hearing that in 1979. That's when I first started hearing those things. And at that time, it was a revelation to me because I had never understood the laying of a foundation in Jesus Christ in which the temple of God could be built. Amen? But the way that it was preached and the way that it was heard, perceived in my mind, was that each one of these things had to be done separately and in order to take you in. That's how it was perceived. So the part that, and that's the part that God had to tear down that he might build up. So I want to tell you this morning. So this morning you're hearing the Word of God. Amen? So every time you hear the Word of God, and I mean every time that you hear it, now, there's a lot of times that you're going to hear it in the flesh and you're not going to get a thing out of it. Are you with me? We do a lot of hearing around here. A lot of listening. Let me put it that way. We do a lot of listening and very little hearing. Let me say it that way. And there's a big difference between listening and hearing, because it's the hearing of the Word of God that brings forth faith. And it's, what does faith do for you? Well, it pleases God for sure. And it takes you in. Faith will take you in. So, first of all, foundationally, we preach. And we preach the Word of God. Okay? Foundationally, we preach, and we preach the Word of God. How shall they preach unless they be what? Sent. So, has the Word been sent to you? Absolutely. So, right? Romans 10. I'll just give you the reference for that. So, foundationally, we preach the Word of God. So, when I preach to you, I bring to you a Word of God that all of a sudden it begins to be heard. Now, and if you're listening, that's good. If you're hearing, that's better. Are you with me? So listening's good. Hearing is better. Listening, we sow a seed. Hearing, it's greater than sowing a seed. Because now that you're giving space to the seed to do what? Bear fruit, come forth. So, if I'm delivering you the Word of God, what can then, in the hearing of the Word of God, what can come forth? Well, we know that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So in the hearing, faith comes. Oh, there. Okay. Now, if faith comes, how can faith come if there's no repentance? Repentance. You can answer the question if you want. Okay? But I'm talking about you. Okay? So, this is why we preach. Okay? God knows that in the parables, that the parables are what? What are they? Are they mysteries? So in the mysteries, the only way that God can be revealed in the parable or in the mystery is if what? If God interprets. Correct? So God raises up the interpretation. So your elders or apostles, do they have the interpretation of the mysteries of God? Are they sent to you for that reason? Amen. So in the revelation of Jesus Christ is when it comes to you. Am I confusing anyone here this morning? Let me ask you something. If I'm hearing and faith comes forward, is the Spirit of God working in you? It better be. How else is faith a gift of God? The Bible says it is. So if faith is a gift of God, how can the gifts come but by the Holy Ghost? They can't. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then I know that the fruit that's coming forth in you that was called faith came by what? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ working in you. And you know, it's amazing. Now, this is why that parable last week about all these layers of strata that live in our minds, those are what keep us from thinking when a question is asked by the elder. All those levels of thought in us keep us from giving a right answer. Because all that level of thought, we just can't get through it to just be out there with God. Are you with me in that a little bit? Oh man, Bryce, that's big time reasoning, right? So we could say it this way: all that strata is reasoning, big time, But it's generational. All that reasoning is generational. I mean, it didn't just come from this lifetime. I'll tell you this. I taught a study called The Everlasting Covenant. That went from Genesis to Revelation. I taught that study. I started teaching it in 1988, and I quit teaching it in 2006. So that's 18 years of teaching that study. And man, the revelation in myself from teaching that study was unbelievable. So, in teaching that study, teaching from Genesis to Revelation, how many generations is that? Huh? Okay, that's good. We say a lot. Huh? Wouldn't it be important to you to know how many generations that is from Adam to Christ? Oh, yeah. But, so in teaching Genesis, from teaching the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and studying it for 18 years and even being taught it before that so that I could teach it, right? I didn't go into that myself. I had to be taught it to come into the understanding of it before I could teach it. And as I was being taught it, boom, the lights just began to come on in my mind about the understanding of the Word of God. Thus, I was ordained to preach it. So how many generations then from Genesis to Revelation? We don't know. We should know, but we don't. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will know. Okay? Just so you understand that. So how many generations then are in me based upon that thought? There you go. A lot. Okay? Now you're beginning to understand what I'm saying. The more I knew the Bible, the more generations that were in me that I had to go through in order to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul would say it this way, that when it came to the law, above me there was no man. He understood that as much as he knew about the Word of God, that everything he knew held him captive from coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? So the very thing that when the Word of God begins to come, generationally, everything that we know when it comes to the Bible, it has to go away. That's why Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Because everything, if Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews and he didn't know Jesus Christ, there was a problem. And when Jesus began to speak to him about the resurrection, which is being born again, just so you know, being born again, you better be in a resurrection of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're not being born again. We could birth the flesh over and over and over again and never have a revelation of Jesus Christ. So if we're being born again, we are in a resurrection. We are becoming a spiritual man. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So in being born again, I am becoming a Christ. I am becoming a body of Christ. A new heaven and a new earth is being formed in me. So can I receive faith and not repent? Let me help you with this. How many of you think you know what repentance is? I'll tell you this. Do you know that what we think repentance is and what repentance truly is are two separate things? So if faith is formed, how could faith be formed in you by the Holy Ghost and repentance not have worked? It's not possible. It is not possible. We're so ingrained into principles that we think that in order to repent, I have to stand before God and say, God, I am so sorry I did this, or God, I'm so sorry I did that, or God, I did this, and God, I did that. What's speaking in that? What's doing the repenting? The flesh. And I told you when we started this, we are not after the flesh even for a moment. Do you know what's working that in you? Condemnation. So is Christ work? If condemnation is bringing me to a repentance in the flesh, is it Jesus or is it another spirit? It's another God. It's a spirit that is deceived. It's evil. Antichrist. That's a good word. And so that's what I'm saying. We are so ingrained in the working of principles that are wrong, that we have not allowed the Spirit of Christ to bring us into the laying of the foundation that is Spirit, worked by the Holy Ghost, that we will never be able to work the Spirit of truth in us in our generations. Because we don't understand. Correct. Because those layers of thought are so great in us. Man, when Dan was here, Dan and I began to talk about some things in the mind of the apostles. And as we were relating back and forth one to another, all of a sudden it began to be formed in my thought, man, the battleground between grace and truth is unbelievable. And so if we're not walking by the Spirit, then what happens in that battleground between grace and truth? Grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. I will tell you this. A lot of times when we hear the Word of God, we hear it in condemnation. And so we get out our Bibles and we begin to read the Bible for our help. Are you going to find it that way? Right. Not going to happen. Because you're reading it how? You're reading it in the flesh and through condemnation. Rick asked us a question a few weeks ago, and I think I shared this with you. It was in one of the elders' meetings. He says, can a person who's never gone to church go to heaven? Of course he can. The reason for it is he has thoughts of God in him, correct, that are not against God. We have thoughts of tradition that work against God. Is that not Judaism? When Christ came, they were so thick in their traditions, man, they just couldn't come to Jesus. Can I tell you this? And I say it cautiously because I'm not. A lot of times when we say these things, they're mistaken, and so I probably ought to learn not to say them. But for you that are here to hear, it's important. Do you know our religiosity, which has been formed in us from the day we started going to church, is our greatest hindrance to God? And I had to learn. I didn't start learning that till I was 52 years old. I could look at you today and I say, listen, you folks are on the fast track. Because if you will hear, is the foundation of God being preached to you every time we gather together in the body of Christ? It is. Every time we gather and every time the word is spoke, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, is being laid for you to build you into the habitation of God. Every time. You cannot separate the word of God from the foundation of God. It's impossible. You cannot separate the work of repentance, faith, doctrine of baptisms, eternal judgment. You cannot separate those things from the Word of God. It's impossible. One word can take you into the Holy Ghost. And in the Holy Ghost, what are you going to see? That I told you you all need. A revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're here for? That's what we're here for. So in the revelation of Jesus Christ, am I going to see angels? What angel? What's the most important angel I can see? Say that, Ted, please. The most important angel that you will ever meet is the one that God says you are. Now you know yourself as Christ or as God knows you. I mean, seeing Gabriel and Michael and all those things, that's important, but it's not as important. It's important, but more important is knowing who you are in God. And Michael and Gabriel, they show up to show you, to teach you those things. Oh, I know you are. You are, for sure. Are you a word? Are you? Yes. What are angels? Sent word of God. Amen. So, man, we're having a little bit of waking up today. So if I'm going to be sent, how am I going to be sent? As the word of God, as an angel? Isn't an angel a messenger of the word of God? Let me ask you this. Was Christ an angel? Oh, man. How about the angel? For sure. So when the word of God goes forth, let's look at it this way. When God created the heavens and the earth, what did he have to do in order to form them, to create them? Yeah, he had to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I say that for you again? He had to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, when I went into the mind of God and he began to show me that, I was blown away. Oh, that's why everything's foreordained in him from the beginning. Amazing, isn't it? That's just, we never do. Thank goodness we have people to help us now, right? We have elders to help us, raised up by God to help us, order some things in ourselves. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Now listen to this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay. So when the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now we say it this way. That the revelation of JC came to God, right? And God gave it to his son, gave it to Jesus. So Jesus Christ came forth by a revelation of himself from who? From God. Say that again, Pastor. So Jesus Christ came forth by a revelation in God, and God gave it to who? Jesus Christ. You mean that God had to have a revelation in himself of his son in order to reveal it to his son? Imagine that. foreordained will. We are now talking about the foreordained will of God. This was the plan of God from the beginning. Has always been and will always be. That's why God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. There is no other Savior beside me. Isaiah, I alone am He. So Jesus Christ came forth out of whom? Out of the Father, correct? So the gospel of Jesus Christ was the foreordained will of God from the beginning, sent unto His. And so who was to witness all this? We just read it. His servants, all of His angels. So when God began to set this in motion, did all the angels in heaven see the unfolding of the foreordained will of God? Were you one of them? How else could it say, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew thee and I called thee? So God knows that you are already His. He possesses you. You are His from the beginning. And He began to tell you these things. You were His servant. So as God began to bring forth His servants, His angels, in the revelation of His Son, you were there. You just plain don't remember. That's why this cannot be sown into flesh. It's impossible. Are you with me? This is sown into the Son, into the angel, to wake up the angel whom God knows you are. He does not perceive you in the flesh. He doesn't even know your sin. He knows that in the foreordained will of God, there was no sin. How did it become sin then? Oh, thought. Thought that wasn't garnered of God. Was it purposed of God though? Why? So you would know. Because when your angel wakes up, will he ever fall into sin again? No, he will not. I'm telling you. Listen. These things have always been true, and these are the things that have escaped our minds. These are the things that have escaped us because why? How does our mind think? Our mind thinks that this flesh is God. I'm going to be honest with you. Our mind, not the body of flesh, the body of flesh that we defined to start with this morning. Now, listen to this then. So John says it this way, right? And signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I'm going to go. You know where I'm going to go because you've been there before. Listen to this. And he said unto me. So now God's talking to John, correct? John's seeing all this stuff. And so in the book of Revelation, what's happening? Yeah, but is it about John? Who's it about? It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ where? Say it, Frankie. In you. It's about Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, I said it to you earlier today, what are we in? The fulfillment of the Word of God to make you complete, to make you perfect. Listen to this. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So what did John hear? He heard the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. Now listen. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see, thou do it not. So now who's John talking to? Who's he talking? What? He's talking to an angel. All right? He's talking to an angel. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy what? Fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Okay, so who's the servants of God? The angels, correct? I am thy fellow servant. And we have the testimony of who? Jesus. We have the revelation, we have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Who was John talking to? His angel. He was talking to whom he was in the beginning. So in the revelation of Jesus Christ, are you going to learn how to talk to whom you were in the beginning with God, that you might forever be with God? See, now we can commune. So in the scripture says, my Lord saith unto thy Lord. How are we going to have that conversation, Lord to Lord, unless it's angel to angel? Word to word. Where the mind of the flesh exists no more. Do you know that when you die a physical death in this world, your mind of it dies with it? You have no remembrance of it at all? Zero. Zero. So when we talk about heaven, we have lied to ourselves because of the flesh about what heaven is and what we will see there. I've even talked to people that say, well, I'd rather have my heaven than God's then. And I'm like, you know, you don't say it to them. I mean, you pray for them, right? But they don't understand. They have no idea what they're saying in it. Because what you're saying then, the world that God put in you to save the generations of it, you have just cast it into hell. And you yourself went with it. That's what you've done. Why? What God is showing you in his foreordained will are the greatest things that will ever come into a mind or a body that is called Jesus Christ. And this is why we struggle with the law versus grace, because we think what we have formed that we call the Word of God is greater than God himself. And it shall not be so in God. He will cast it out. Are you with me today? These are the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. And God speaks them with great purpose, because only he knows who he has ordained you to be from the beginning. And he sent his word, he sent his son that came forth out of his own bowels into you to bring you forth as that very thing. that he calls his own. Amen. God bless you this morning. I gave you lots to think about.